switchboard at, what time was Richard doing this? 3 o'clock this morning. People were ringing in about it. You might say, well, that's the audience at that time. I don't know. But do you think we should consider decriminalising? I mean, it's kind of decriminalised at all. I don't know if it's the same where you live, but wherever I wander, if I'm outside, and sometimes inside in London, you can smell it everywhere.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 6 o'clock, the parents of a baby boy who died aged 15 weeks have told LBC they believe the mould in their home contributed to his death. Akram had been living in a London flat deemed uninhabitable by an independent survey. An inquest will take place in August. Akram's father, Abdul Shafi, claims the flat was dangerous for his family.
The mould helped kill my son. Under the condition of the house, when it's raining, the water coming from inside. Damp, it smell strong like the air. The air is not fresh.
Notting Hill Genesis, which managed the property, says it's deeply saddened by the tragic loss of Akram. They say they're working with relevant authorities as they conduct investigations, and it would be inappropriate to comment further ahead of the inquest. Detectives have until lunchtime to question the suspect in the collision at Liverpool's Trophy Parade. 11 people remain in hospital after a vehicle ploughed into crowds on Monday evening. The 53-year-old's being held on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving. The Shadow Home Secretary, Chris Philp, says police were right to identify the suspect as a white British man.
We saw last year where the police and indeed the Prime Minister didn't disclose information quickly, and misinformation filled the void. And that, I think, was a terrible, terrible mistake. What Merseyside Police did yesterday, I think, was the right thing to do.
Police and security chiefs have warned plans to release prisoners early could pose a threat to public safety. They've written to the Ministry of Justice to request the necessary resources to ensure order can be maintained. London's mayor has backed calls for the possession of small quantities of natural cannabis to be decriminalised. Sir Sadiq Khan says a report by the Independent London Drugs Commission shows current rules cannot be justified. The Home Office says it has no intention of changing the law. Planning rules could be eased to allow smaller house builders to speed up developments in England. Ministers are looking at environmental rules that force developers to compensate for the loss of any nature. They're due to set out a series of planned housing reforms later. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 87.78 after closing up 60 yesterday. The pound buys $1.35 and a euro 19. LBC weather, sunny spells and showers for most places, feeling quite warm in the sunshine, a high of 22 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Club card accepted.
Feel the power to lower prices with Tesco Club Card. Get a 10-pack of McVitie's Jaffa Cake Original, now £1, down from £1.50. Celebrating 30 years of rewards with Tesco Club Card. Tesco, every little helps. Majority of larger stores, Jaffa Cakes ends 24th of June. Club Card are up required.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
Good morning. It is exactly 3 minutes past 6 o'clock on the morning of Wednesday, May the 28th. The London mayor has backed calls for the possession of small quantities of cannabis to be decriminalised. Sir Sadiq Khan says the Independent London Drugs Commission's report provides a compelling and evidence-based case for the government to consider the move. But Peter Reynolds from the group Clear, which campaigns for cannabis law liberalisation, told LBC decriminalisation goes too far.
The criminals, the gangsters, the violent criminal gangs that are selling cannabis no longer have to worry about the fact that their people they're selling it to aren't going to be criminalised. And in fact, it could make the whole situation worse. That's why what we need is full legal regulation.
Also this hour?
Reform really are now the party of working people.
Nigel Farage has declared Reform UK is the party of the workers, saying it will scrap the two-child benefit cap and reinstate winter fuel payments. During a speech in London yesterday, he accused the Prime Minister of lacking a connection with working-class Britain. He also challenged Sir Keir Starmer to a debate in a working man's club in the former Labour Red Wall heartlands. Ex-advisor to Nigel Farage, Gawain Toler, Join me later with his thoughts, and so will our political editor, Natasha Clark. The business will come from Russ Mould, from AJ Bell, and we may have a look at today's front pages.
Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. This is LBC.
So, is this a good idea or not? It's, as I say, it's unlikely to happen, certainly in the near future, because the Westminster government has reacted saying, look, you know, we've got no plans to do it. That doesn't mean they're ruling it in or ruling it out. It's just political speak for maybe one day, but not now. So the Mayor of London said a report by the Independent London Drugs Commission, published yesterday, has provided a compelling evidence-based case for decriminalising cannabis and urged the government to consider the move. The LDC, the London Drugs Commission, was set up by Sadiq Khan in 2022. It was chaired by the former Lord Chancellor, Lord Charlie Falconer. The LDC found the current laws on cannabis were, quote, disproportionate to the harms it can pose, following a study of how the drug is policed around the world. It also found cannabis policing continues to focus on particular ethnic communities, damaging relations between the police and those communities. What are these communities? As always, we don't know. The commission stopped short of calling for full decriminalisation, saying the long-term harms to public health were not yet well understood. Instead, Lord Falconer's committee called for, quote, natural as opposed to synthetic cannabis to be either do it or don't do it. Don't kind of make, well, you can have this one, but you can't have this. It's like every time we try and do something, we always overcomplicate it. It's like means testing for child benefit. Just either give everyone it or don't give anyone. It just makes things so much more simple. Instead, so they want natural as opposed to synthetic cannabis to be moved from the Misuse of Drugs Act to the Psychoactive Substances Act. See what I mean? Effectively legalising possession of small amounts for personal use while continuing to prohibit importing, manufacturing or distributing the drug. Shall we be honest to ourselves here? Shall we fess up and say what's really happening? It's already decriminalised, isn't it? Effectively. You know, when was the last time you saw a police officer walk? I've seen it. You know, you'll be walking along the road, you'll smell it, it's everywhere, and the police will just sort of turn a blind eye to it. We obviously have some secret smokers in my underground car park, because every day you can smell it in there, and they're obviously, you can't be completely obvious. But, you know, it's just, it is decriminalised, really. So I don't know what we're talking about here. The committee also called for improved addiction services and greater education for young people on the dangers of cannabis. So what's your experience of this? My experience of talking about this tells me that the people we'll hear from will be people who are or have probably been addicted to weed. Like Michael on the Isle of Wight. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Ian. I used to smoke an horrendous amount of cannabis, mainly resin, like all.
How much is horrendous?
Probably about an eighth of an ounce every 2 days.
How many joints is that?
Oh, gosh. Well, it depends how thick you roll them. But
well, average.
At least 10.
10? 10 joints a day or every 2 days?
No, every day.
How were you after that?
When I gave up, I did get withdrawal symptoms for quite a while.
Did it affect your mental health?
Yes.
In what way?
My brain's a bit messed up at the moment. I take the same tablets as you do, the little pink pills that you take every morning.
I don't take any pink pills. The only pills I take are just before I go to sleep because they knock me out.
Quetiapine.
You take that in the morning?
I take one in the morning and I take four in the evening.
Wow.
Yeah.
You take one in the morning, but they make you all dopey.
They sort of chill me out a little bit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But anyway, the thing is with cannabis, if you can imagine, I'll say to your producer, you've got your granddaughter's birthday party in the garden. You've got all the kids playing, nice hot summer's days, drinking pop, and someone or some people sticks doors along in their garden smoking cannabis, weed.
Right.
That's going to travel.
I know.
The smell travels and it's horrendous.
Yeah.
That's the thing. When people smoke it in their cars,
yeah,
they're totally oblivious to the smell.
I know what Sadiq Khan is suggesting. I don't think he's suggesting you should therefore get in a car and drive, because it's like alcohol, really.
No, but I'm just saying people are totally oblivious. If you smoke it, you can smoke it in your house with all the windows closed and the doors closed, and that smell will still linger out to the pavement outside. I personally, I don't know, there's pros and cons about legalising it. I personally don't think it'll ever be legal, but maybe...
Do you think it should be?
Legalise it. Put it in cafes. So if you want to go to a place and smoke with other people, go to a cafe, like a little cafe, like they got in Amsterdam, and...
I think the setup we have now is actually quite good, in that it is technically illegal, but the authorities kind of turn a blind eye to it, unless you're on the street dealing it.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I've seen young teenagers, 16, 17, 18, smoking it, and I've seen them being stopped, and had it, you know, police going down their pockets and everything else.
Yeah.
But it won't bother me. I will never smoke it again. I'm not interested. One more, can I just ask something?
Of course.
Why has LBC not covered the release of Tommy Robinson?
Well, someone did ask that this morning. That was me. Oh, it was you, was it, Michael?
It's almost as if it's like a part of news that doesn't exist.
All right.
To GB News a lot, and they talked about it a lot on there. The other station.
He's been released from prison. I mean, it's a fact. I'm not censoring you, Michael. I'm only just because I've got another caller I want to speak to. But I must admit, I wasn't aware of it. I didn't see it on any of my news feeds this morning. But if that is the case, and I'd need to double check, then okay, yeah, he was released a day or so ago, was he? Okay, fair enough. I don't know. Should it be a big news story? I mean, what would the subject be? Should he be released? Well, of course he should, because he served his time, hasn't he? I think so. We're not editing the news, I promise. Okay, thank you, but keep us up to date with stories you feel we aren't covering. Cannabis is virtually legal in Oklahoma, says Christine. When my daughter goes to university, you smell it everywhere on the roads there. It's really scary. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. I think that the set, like I said before, the setup we have now, I think works. You know, you don't want people literally smoking it wherever you go, because it is unlike alcohol, which does smell, but it's not quite the same, is it? Imagine going to, I don't know, if I was in a pub garden and everyone's smoking weed, I wouldn't really want that. To be honest, I think that would be invading my personal space. Now, Glenn, you're a first-time caller. Tell us why.
Why that I have this?
Why you've only called for the first time? Because this is quite relevant to the cannabis argument. Because I believe you have a stutter.
Yeah, that's right. All my life, I can't get a word out halfway. When I get stuck halfway, I've just been 2 years without any whatsoever.
2 years and without cannabis.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I bought some 18 months ago. I've gone 2 years without any. And I use it for medical reasons only. When I was a kid, yeah, I was irresponsible. And yeah, we'll see how high we can get. But it's not addictive whatsoever. Don't forget that resin is made... listen to me.
Okay.
Resin is made by man. That's a dangerous product. I have once had white spots in it.
Why would our last caller have withdrawal symptoms then if it's not addictive?
Because he said resin.
And the difference is?
Resin is a man-made product. You make yourself and do what you want with it. Weed is a God-made product, a plant in the ground.
Mm. So you don't think you can be addicted to weed?
No, never. Obviously, ever since I was 15 years old. Only resin you can. You can put anything you want in there.
I'm not questioning the veracity of your call, but are you sure you've got a stutter? Because you sound perfect.
Yes, well, I've had it for the last 6 weeks now. Started again.
Started stuttering again?
Yeah. It opens the airways up in the brain.
Why does cannabis stop you stuttering?
It opens the airways up in your brain, and so your blood can flow much, much better. I had one last night, but I don't have joints.
Did you, do you have a full-time job?
Yeah, I have a full-time job, yeah.
And does that not, does getting stoned not affect that?
No, because I make sure I don't have it over the week.
Right.
What I do is I make sure that I have it on a Friday night, So when I go work on Monday, I'm totally okay.
How long does it... You seem to know about it, so how long does it stay in your system?
3 days, I think it is.
3 days?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you think that it should be made legal? Decriminalised?
Yeah, well, I think the government can make a lot of money at this as well, because they can regulate the power of it, because it's all different sorts.
Don't
at the moment, I've got one called amnesia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, go for it. I mean, I'd be a prize person to use for this one. Because, I mean, admittedly, as a child growing up, I was irresponsible. Yeah, we're a 15, 16-year-old boy. We'll have them. How high can we get? So it, but I realised what it could do to me.
Okay.
And what it was doing. And I thought, well, I mean, I've got a bag of weed, an ounce that I've had for 2 years, for 18 months.
Does
it's dry as anything. And I don't even, I don't have a joint either.
All right, fair enough.
Vape.
Well, something's working, because you don't sound like you have a stammer at all, to be honest. Should we, as the mayor suggested here in London, that the possession of small quantities of natural cannabis should be decriminalised, not the synthetic stuff, the natural stuff? What do you think? And if cannabis, what about all other forms of smoke? It's just after 6:15, the headlines, Thomas Watts.
The parents of a baby who died aged 15 weeks have told LBC they believe the mould in their home contributed to his death. Detectives have until lunchtime to question the suspect over the collision at Liverpool's trophy parade on Monday. Police and security chiefs have warned the early release of prisoners in England and Wales could pose a threat to public safety. LBC weather, sunny spells and showers for most, a high of 22 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays of about 20 minutes on the M25 clockwise to junction 30 at the A13. It's all down to an accident where two of the four lanes are closed. In Bickley, Gulf Road is closed in both directions at Fancourt Mews, and that's because of an ongoing investigation. So many problems on the trains this morning. Firstly, no Gatwick Express. The entire line is suspended. Southern as well can't run between London Bridge and East Croydon via Peck and Rye. Also on the trains, Great Western Railway services are suspended between Bourne End and Marlow. That's all down to a signal failure. And Greater Anglia trains are running northbound between Shenfield and Witham. And that's because a train has broken down.
The all-new LBC app. News your way. Download it for free from the App Store. This is LBC.
Oh, I haven't laughed this much in ages.
I feel like I can't really let go. I know my bladder won't be able to take a real belly laugh. The floodgates will open.
You need Always Discreet pants. Total game changer.
Oh, let's have a look.
They feel just like underwear, but they're super absorbent. Plus, they fit like a glove. Have a go.
It feels amazing to properly relax and have a good old giggle. Same time next week.
Complete protection from heavy leaks with Always Discreet Boutique.
Hello, I'm Nick Ferrari, and I'll be back taking your calls from 7. So get it off your chest and get it on the radio. Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Join me, leading Britain's conversation on LBC.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Any tips for the racing?
Yeah, your best bet is to head to BetVictor for their new customer welcome offer. If you bet a minimum of £10, they give you £20 in free bets on the horse racing. But here's another tip. If you're at the races, head to the paddock. You get lots of info they don't put in the race cards.
Like what?
Like the fact I'm seeing one of them drop a lot of weight right now.
No. Listen to Harry and make your best bet on the racing at BetVictor. 18 plus, opt in, bet on horse racing at odds of evens or greater, no cash out, 7-day expiry, terms and conditions apply, gambleaware.org.
People ask me, what's my good place? Down the park, having fun with Toby, my cockapoo. And knowing that my pension with PensionBee is managed by experienced money managers. So, not chasing the stick then, Toby? No.
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionbee.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
Find top-rated outdoor dining products on Amazon. Like this pizza oven with 5-star reviews, you'll get value and tasty pizza. Or these barbecue gloves. Remember to take off before eating.
Or this large windproof umbrella.
Because nobody wants a wet pizza. Amazon. Find highly rated products at prices you'll love.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
So Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, has backed calls for the possession of small quantities of natural cannabis, not synthetic, to be decriminalised. Westminster government said there are no plans to do so yet, but I'm asking you whether or not you agree with the Mayor. Should we decriminalise cannabis? Before we take more of your answers on that question, let's get the very latest from the police investigation into what happened at the Liverpool football parade on Monday, wasn't it? Fraser Knight is with us. He's following every detail of this. What's the latest?
Yeah, Ian, we heard an update from the police yesterday afternoon, and I have to say, perhaps a small glimmer of hope in there that of the people who were taken to hospital after the car ploughed into some of those Liverpool fans on Water Street on Monday evening, all 11 who remain in hospital were told are in a stable condition and are recovering well. Of course, you'll remember that there was 4 children among them, 2 people seriously injured, we were told, 1 adult and 1 child. But also we had heard that the numbers of casualties had gone up as well. 65 casualties in total, 50 people taken to hospital, and as I say, 11 remaining in a stable condition but still being treated in hospital. As for the man who was arrested at the scene, the 53-year-old white British man from the Liverpool area, we're now told that he's being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, of dangerous driving and of drug driving as well. So that gives you an idea of the line of questioning that he is facing from police. Now, yesterday when we were speaking, of course, there were questions about how that car managed to get onto Water Street, which was closed off to the public. And the Assistant Chief Constable, Jemmy Sims, from Merseyside Police, gave an update on how they believe that happened.
It is believed the driver of the Ford Galaxy car involved was able to follow an ambulance onto Water Street after the roadblock was temporarily lifted so that the ambulance crew could attend to a member of the public who was having a suspected heart attack.
Now, police have been given a little bit more extra time to question the suspect in this case. They have until lunchtime today to continue with that line of questioning. And yesterday we saw the Home Secretary, Yvette Cooper, visiting Liverpool as well to pay tribute to the emergency services who had responded so quickly to that scene. And also she was asked about the decision that was made by Merseyside Police to release more information about the suspect that they were holding in custody.
Well, the police have an important investigation underway and they need to make the operational decisions. But we saw yesterday this real celebration of joy in the city turn into the most horrific incident. And so, as well as we all thinking of those who were injured and wishing them the very best recovery, we also need to say huge thanks to all those who responded.
And of course, the investigation does continue. There's still a lot more information that the police need to gather to understand how this came to happen on Monday evening. But as you heard there, confirmation that the 53-year-old man who's being held, it is being held on suspicion of attempted murder, of dangerous driving and of drug driving as well.
OK, thank you very much indeed. We've got the business news coming up with Ross Mould. He went to cinema with his son, so he gave us a little review of Mission Impossible. He went to the theatre last night. We may even coax out of him a theatrical review. I know, what a life, eh? Before that, should we decriminalise cannabis? The Mayor of London has suggested, yes, we should. Westminster has said, well, not yet. Jordan's in Sheffield. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to speak to you again, Ian.
And you. What have you got for us?
I'm a medicinal cannabis user. I actually have a prescription. I'm probably one of the, I think there's a million people, give or take, that have a prescription. I use it to treat epilepsy. I'm prescribed a gram of it a day, which is about equates to a joint, 2 joints a day, 1 in the morning, 1 at night. And as far as, I don't know, addiction goes, I think I've experienced these withdrawal symptoms that people have had on the black market stuff. But now that I'm on medicinal, pharmaceutically regulated grown cannabis, it's basically the dream. There's literally no negative side effects that I've ever had. I've just been on holiday for 32 weeks, no cannabis, zero withdrawal, absolutely none whatsoever. So when people talk about the withdrawals and the mental health aspect of it, I wonder, is it a case of how it's being grown, not the plant itself? Because if it's on the black market, people often spray it with chemicals and all manner of stuff to bulk it up and get more money out of the sale, etc.
Can you see a time when it's decriminalised?
If I'm honest, I've got a sneaking suspicion. Give it 10 or 15 years, people won't, the pubs situation, thousands of pubs that are closing, will get so dire because the people younger than me, about my age, are drinking so little alcohol, the government will go, oh, we need to make up that tax money somewhere, don't we?
I don't know. I've got a text here saying, Ian, if it's legalised, we're in Malta, he says, where it is legalised to a degree. If you sit outside a pub, you're getting wafts of weed and smoke. It's not nice if you're with your old mum having a drink. And I think that might be what actually stops it being decriminalised completely. Certainly for your epilepsy, it obviously works, and no one has a problem with that. But I just can't see it being widely used in public.
Well, in public, like out in the street, even I wouldn't agree with that. Like,
people do it already, don't they? They smoke in the street already. You just smell it everywhere.
Yeah, but it's because they don't have a place to go for it. Like, in my view, right, turn pubs into cannabis pubs, ventilate them.
All right.
You can smoke inside.
All right.
It's all out the way. It's all in a location.
I will put a shout out to pub users, Jordan, thank you, and to publicans. Because, again, and if you watch Clarkson's Farm, he's buying a pub. And it goes into great detail about what is happening in the pub industry. Every single pub almost is up for sale. You know, so many of them, thousands, shutting every single year. If you are a publican, is decriminalising cannabis the way forward to attract punters? I'm not so sure, to be honest. I don't really want to go to a pub where people are smoking cannabis outside, but particularly in the summer. Right, we are indebted to Russ Mole, the investment director at AJ Bell, because you're actually in the studio.
Good morning.
Why are you in the studio today? What's happening?
Thank you. I was in London last night with my lovely lady wife going to the theatre.
Well, we'll ask you about that.
She's still asleep, but I've been sneaked out of the hotel.
Let's do what you're here to do, which is telling us what news from the IMF.
Well, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago that the UK's first quarter economic growth was better than expected, and the IMF have latched onto that and said they think next year will be stronger, which is intriguing given they've just cut this year's forecast. But they say that they like what Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor, is doing with regard to investment in infrastructure and trying to deregulate, and they think there may be some positives from that and lower interest rates. So they're taking probably a bit more of an upbeat tone than perhaps they did about, you know, this year quite recently. So
great.
Yeah, it all helps.
Good news is willfully consumed here. What's happening with energy prepayment meter customers?
They're being awarded £74 million by the UK regulator Ofgem, and this is in the form of either financial support or wiping off of bad debts if they got behind with their bills. And this all goes back to 2022-23, after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, gas bills went through the roof, and some power energy utilities put in prepayment meters without the consent, or did it forcibly with their customers. Those customers then got behind because the prepayments were so big, and things have rolled on badly from there. So the regulators got involved. 8 energy suppliers involved in this restitution, 3 more, there's still an ongoing investigation. So you might get up to £1,000 back if you're one of these customers.
And bad news for Adidas, or is it Adidas? I never know. Customers.
Well, they've just managed to climb their way through 2 years worth of trainers from Kanye West, which they've been trying to get rid of. They've just finished that.
Have they?
They've just finished that, and now they've had a cyber attack. So they've now said that some of their customers' personal data has been taken. They are promising it's not payment details, credit card details, but it looks as if you have, for any reason, contacted their customer services online, you may be one of the customers' names which has been taken. So definitely keep an eye on your credit card statements and your bank details just in case.
Okay, it's something I've always wanted to introduce on this programme. Maybe we'll do it one day. It's just too early in the morning to get the staff. But you can be our theatre critic. You've reviewed Mission Impossible then with your boy, and then you thought that was brilliant. And then last night you went to see Martin Freeman in The Fifth Step.
Yeah, with Jack Loudon.
At the Soho Place.
Yeah.
Oh, Jack Loudon's in it as well.
Yeah, two-person show, 2 actors, in the round, 90 minutes, no break, straight the way through.
And?
It's about an Alcoholics Anonymous support counsellor and one of his...
something uplifting then?
No, but it covers Adult themes, strong language, I think it's fair to say, but everything from sex to religion to alcohol, and it's at times very thought-provoking, at times incredibly funny, and went by in a flash, and it's fantastic.
Okay. How much did it cost, if you don't mind me asking? You know, we have a big debate.
I'm going to have to check. I'll have to have a look. I can't remember. I bought the ticket so long ago, I can't remember. But from recent experience, I would guess they're probably somewhere between £1,700 easily a ticket. Would be my guess.
Well, how much?
£70 to £100.
£70 to £100.
Would be my guess.
Yeah.
The Richard II tickets I got a few weeks ago at the Tower Bridge Theatre were about in that kind of area with Jonathan Bailey.
All right, fair enough. What are you seeing tonight?
I'm going to sleep tonight, I think.
Nice to see you anyway. It's always nice to put a face to a voice. And no, you don't look well, I thought. That's just the thing about radio. You never, when you see a radio person, do I look like I sound?
I've seen your picture loads of times.
Okay, fair enough.
Knew exactly what to expect.
An old one. Yeah, brilliant. Russ Mould, Investment Director at AJ Bell. We're talking about decriminalising, just basically making cannabis, natural cannabis, not synthetic cannabis, legal. The mayor has commissioned a report here in London and says, yes, it's a good idea. Westminster says, well, not yet, but I'm asking you whether or not you think, A, it's a good idea, and B, when should it happen? It's 6:30. Let's get the news headlines. Thomas Watts.
The parents of a boy who died aged 15 weeks have told LBC they believe the mould in their home contributed to his death. Akram had been living in a London flat deemed uninhabitable by an independent survey. Notting Hill Genesis, which managed the property, says it's working with relevant authorities ahead of the inquest in August. 11 people are still in hospital after a car ploughed into crowds at Liverpool's trophy parade on Monday. Police have until lunchtime today to question a 53-year-old man on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving. London's mayor says Sadiq Khan has backed calls for the possession of small quantities of cannabis to be decriminalised. He says there is a compelling evidence-based case for the move, but the Home Office says it won't be reclassifying the drug. LBC weather, sunny spells and showers for most, feeling quite warm in the sunshine, a high of 22 degrees.
LBC, Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Yeah, coming up this morning with Nick, as we are doing, should cannabis become a legalised drug? Nick, though, will be speaking to the man behind the report that suggested perhaps it should be decriminalised, and that's the former Justice Secretary himself, Lord Falconer. Also in Nick's programme today, after Nigel Farage launches a dramatic and costly bid to woo left-wing voters, do you trust the reform leader with the economy? And in a fresh blow to motorists, the congestion charge is set to rise again to £18 from £15. All of that and more coming up with Nick Ferrari at breakfast this morning from 7 here on LBC.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Listen on your radio and on Global Player. This is LBC.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963. A Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Chatterley Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Chatterley Fabulous. So, don't diver, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
The British Red Cross is here to welcome people fleeing the conflict in Ukraine.
We're here to help people to safety when storms hit.
We're here to show anyone struggling that someone cares.
Hiya, that's a huge help.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
This is LBC with Ian Payne.
Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
So this is interesting. This is from, doesn't say, please put your name on things. It's just more friendly. 40 US states have legalized for medical use cannabis. 24 of those US states have legalized adult use. Prohibition is over in America, and the Donald is going to need votes. And also, following on from that, Ricky's just got in touch. And so I recently visited New York. Now, we've done a quick check. So New York City and the state both have legalized recreational cannabis use. Anyway, and I think, Ricky, I think you've hit the nail on the head as well here. This was what will stop it becoming legal in this country. It's the smell, I'm afraid. It's as simple as that. I recently visited New York at Christmas and the smell of cannabis was everywhere. We were leaving at 6 a.m. to visit the sites, and even then people were just smoking this, and the smell makes you wretch, says Ricky. Certainly older citizens in this country, and I probably consider myself in that, is just the smell of it. You know, if people are drinking, you're not really being invaded in your space by the smell of alcohol, are you? But you are when people are smoking weed or smoking cannabis. I think that will be the death knell for it. Let's see what Rob in Cheltenham thinks. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Do you think that cannabis will ever be legalised here?
I think that if they legalise it, two things are going to happen.
Mm.
Number one, it's going to knock the legs out from under the criminal gangs that are currently ruling the roost.
Right.
Right? That's number one.
Right.
Number two, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a cop the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he told me how many hours they spend chasing kids with joints.
Really?
Yeah. An average criminal prosecution takes them 3 hours of administration.
God.
Now, here in Cheltenham, we have a huge Class A drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
Crack, cocaine, heroin. Given the frankly, tattered state that our police force is in, why don't we free these lads up to deal with the real problems?
I'm amazed. It's the police officers are spending valuable time chasing people who are smoking a joint.
Yes.
Really?
It is a complete...
Turn a blind eye to it here.
It is a complete bloody waste of police resources.
Well, it does seem to be. What do you think of this idea? This is what the French ministry have suggested this week, and that is removing cash from society, and that will destroy the drugs trade, because most transactions are done for drugs by cash still, I believe. So what do you think of that as an idea? You seem to know this subject quite well.
Can I tell you an interesting thing? I can walk into my local stationery store and buy a card machine.
Yeah. And do you think that drug dealers will use card machines?
I know several who do.
Oh, really?
I do hear the Cheltenham, yes.
So removing... is, I think the problem with that is that it's a bit like doing an operation where you cut out the disease, but you also cut out some of the vital organs as well. You're going to hoover up all sorts of people who still use cash. That's the problem, isn't it? You know, people, pensioners and others who just don't like... You know, some people use cash because it actually makes you realise how much you're spending. Whereas if you just use a card, you'd get into debt and all the rest of it. OK, so Robin Cheltenham says, not a good idea. Won't stop it.
I think the best way to do it is to legalise it the same way as the Dutch did.
Yeah.
Right, you go to Holland.
Yeah.
You pay tax on your green over there.
Yeah.
Right, now they're talking about, they need to find money here, they need to find money there.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of screwing my granny over, why don't they legalise it? Put a bloody tax on it.
If there's money to be made, Sadiq will be all over it. Sorry, I'm being all cynical. Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Yeah, I don't think the cashless society will make a difference. As for cannabis, I don't know. I'm just basically hearing from people who have been to places where it is legal Where is this? Someone who was in... basically, all of you who've been somewhere where it is legal have said it's the smell. It's so off-putting. You know, maybe it's because maybe we'll get used to it. I don't think we will, to be honest. But anyway, do you agree with the mayor? I don't think that there's a money-making scheme behind it, but you never know. You do get cynical when you live here for too long. So do you think that cannabis should be decriminalised or not? And will it happen? The government says there are no plans to do so, but the mayor is saying, yes, I think so. And Lord Falconer, who made the report suggesting maybe it should be, will be a guest with Nick Ferrari later on. It is World Hunger Day, and there are urgent calls for the government to protect funding for nutrition in the foreign aid budget. We always have this. Oh, why do we pay so much money to countries that don't need it? Lord Johnny Oates joins us. He is the CEO of United Against Malnutrition and Hunger. He's also the former Deputy Director of Communications at 10 Downing Street and a former Chief of Staff to Nick Clegg. Thank you for joining us, Johnny. What is World Hunger Day?
Good morning, great to be with
you. And what are you trying to get us to understand?
Well, what we're trying to convey is how critical access to good nutrition is for the development of individuals and as a consequence for economies and societies. And sadly, although the world made huge progress between 1990 and 2015 in reducing the proportion of people around the world who were suffering from acute hunger and malnutrition, that has gone into reverse. So today, there are 295 million people in the world facing acute hunger. That's 14 million more than was the case just 2 years ago. So we are making the case that this is the absolute critical element to be tackled if you want to see countries develop and individuals thrive.
OK, I can hear people listening and being sympathetic, but saying, quite frankly, Johnny, you know, we've got our own problems. What has this got to do with us? What would you say to that?
Well, I'd say two things. I'd say one, I think there is a very strong moral case, and the UK has always shown in crises that the public step up to help. So the public actively show that they want to act on these issues through the donations they make to charities, etc. But we also need to take strategic interventions. The second thing I'd say is it is in our strategic interest that we tackle malnutrition and hunger, because malnutrition and hunger both arise from conflict, but also drive instability that leads to conflict. We know, for instance, that the funding for food programs in Sudan and in the refugee camps in Chad are massively underfunded. We also know that there was a 60% increase in the number of Sudanese nationals on small boats between 2023 and 2024. So there are direct impacts at home. But the last thing I'd say is you know, we can often, when we have these statistics of hundreds of millions of people, we can lose sight of the individuals. But, you know, I'd picture the four-year-old girl in Gaza or the elderly grandmother dying of starvation in one of the camps in Sudan. That's the reality. And I mentioned particularly the young and the old because they are the most vulnerable. They're the ones most impacted. We can do stuff and we should do stuff to alleviate that.
Absolutely. I don't want to get too political, but I probably will be. And if you want to avoid and swerve this one, you can. But Netanyahu called our leader, the French leader and others, crimes against humanity by criticising Israel for what they're doing in Gaza. What did you think of that speech?
Well, I think it's absolutely clear that where parties to conflict are using food as a weapon, whether that's in Gaza or whether it's in Sudan or whether it's in other parts of the world, that is wrong. And I think our government was absolutely right to call it out alongside the French and the Canadians. The Prime Minister of Israel himself has admitted that pressure is what caused them to open up to the very limited extent and unacceptably limited extent that they have. But it's just not acceptable for that four-year-old girl that I mentioned before to be the person who is being impacted by collective punishment, which we all have determined in the past, is against the rules of international humanitarian law. But it's true, as I say, in Sudan as well, where we need more pressure on the external parties to the war, including the UAE and Egypt, to put pressure on the warring parties to stop using food and starvation as a weapon of war, because it's a weapon that is being used against the civilian population and it's not acceptable.
May I say, well said. Thank you very much, Johnny. Lord Johnny Oates, CEO of United Against Malnutrition and Hunger, former Deputy Director of Communications at 10 Downing Street. Daryl, thank you for being patient. I will come to you after the news headlines. We're talking about legalising cannabis. This is something that's been suggested by an organisation that was set up by the Mayor of London and is headed by Lord Charlie Falconer, the former Lord Chancellor. He will be a guest of Nick Ferrari in his breakfast programme later. And the commission, as it's called, the London Drugs Commission, published yesterday what the mayor said was compelling evidence for decriminalising and urged the government to consider the move. I think it'll come down simply to a question of, do you want to be smelling cannabis everywhere? I mean, it is kind of everywhere here in London already, but people in pubs, for example, some people are suggesting it's just the same as smoking. It's not quite the same as smoking, or maybe it's because I'm an ex-smoker, but sometimes when I walk past a smoker, I go, oh, that's nice. It sort of reminds me. It's 7:15. Let's get those headlines with Thomas Watts.
The parents of a boy who died aged 15 weeks have told LBC they believe the mould in their home contributed to his death. 11 people are still being treated in hospital after a car ploughed into crowds at Liverpool's trophy parade on Monday. And police chiefs and MI5 are warning plans to release prisoners early in England and Wales could pose a threat to public safety. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for most, a high of 22 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays of about half an hour on the M25 clockwise to junction 30 at the A13. It's all down to an accident where two lanes are closed. Also on the M25 clockwise at junction 27 at the M11, a lorry's just broken down, so one lane is closed. There are problems in Golders Green. The traffic lights on the North Circular Road at Brook Lodge aren't working, so do take care at that very busy junction. On the trains, no Gatwick Express. The entire line is suspended. It's all down to a signal failure at East Croydon, which also means that southern trains aren't running via Peckham Rye. And Greater Anglia services are delayed by about half an hour between Shenfield and Witham.
LBC. Here at Pets in a Pickle, our name has caused some confusion. We've had people asking us what pickles we recommend. And a lovely lady looking for a pickle costume for her pet. But they've all been barking up the wrong tree. We actually offer simple, fuss-free pet insurance policies for cats and dogs, including unlimited access to video consultations with First Vet. So, for pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk. For actual pickles, try the supermarket.
Hello, I'm Nick Ferrari, and I'll be back taking your calls in 15 minutes. So get it off your chest and get it on the radio. Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Join me, leading Britain's conversation on LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous.
High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Chatelier Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Chatelier Fabulous. So, don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
The Red Cross is here to deliver essentials to people who have lost everything in Ukraine.
We are here to support families enduring the food crisis in Somalia.
We're here to shelter earthquake survivors in Turkey and Syria.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
Find top-rated wellness products on Amazon, like these aromatherapy candles with 5-star reviews. I smell fantastic value. Or this essential oils massage set. Oh, that's better. Oops, drifted off. And this single-serve coffee machine, back in the room. Amazon, find highly rated products at prices you'll love.
This is LBC with Ian Payne.
It is 11 minutes to 7. We're going to talk about the Nigel Farage speech in just a moment. First of all, Daryl, a first-time caller in Croydon, thank you for being so patient. Do you think we should decriminalise cannabis? Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, definitely. Definitely I do.
Why?
Because it would lower crime rates. I mean, pubs will have more business and things like that. I mean, I know you're saying you don't like the smell and it's
well,
a strong
I,
smell.
I
people get
don't
scared.
Particularly like it, but I know lots of people who hate it. I mean, here's a text here from Andrew who says, as a police officer, I've been to many complaints where young families have a great smell of cannabis seeping through from their neighbour's house into their children's bedroom. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, like, remember it was once legal, like, the hippies used to smoke it and things like that. You see what I mean? Like, you wouldn't see anyone breaking the law back then.
Well, it wasn't
You'd
legal then.
You'd break the law more on alcohol, yeah. I think, to be fair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why do you say it will reduce the crime rate?
Because people probably wouldn't even want to be doing any crimes, and a lot of people do rob people who sell weed and things like that. So,
but the crime will go up because people will need money to buy it, won't they?
But then you need money to buy clothes, you need money to buy everything in this
world. Yeah, but drug addicts buy drugs before their clothes, don't they?
That's the more stronger drugs, like cocaine, crack, things like that.
All right.
They're going to be trying to, like, you get more addictive, if you know what I mean.
Okay, and do you see this happening soon?
Well, I would like it to happen soon, yeah. Like I said, if you need have somewhere to go and smoke it, you wouldn't really smell it in the streets.
All right, now I'm reading what you said to my producer. You said, you've been smoking for many years. I was aggressive and my mum blamed it on cannabis. I thought cannabis was supposed to have the opposite effect.
Well, that's exactly what I mean. Back then, when I was like, 15, my mum used to always blame it on her. She said, you're getting aggressive because you're smoking the weed and things like that. So I didn't want to be stereotyped. A lot of people do stereotype people who smoke weed. So I decided to change that and reverse that, and it calmed me down even more. Because I didn't want them to be accusing the weed.
Have you had a joint already today?
I have one every morning. I can't wake up without one.
You can't wake up without one?
It doesn't motivate me. I won't go to work. I won't do anything unless I have a joint or something in the morning to wake up to.
Wow. You sure you're smoking dope?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, people have different views of it. You have to be educated on weed to know where it comes from, how it's grown.
I see. Well, I think we have a fairly, judging from the phone-ins that we've done on this, and just during my time here anyway, we have a fairly educated drug audience, so let's not beat around the bush. Okay, so Andrew, the police officer, says, yeah, the smell is horrendous, and that's when cannabis is illegal. Can you imagine if it was legal? There would be no recourse. I do think it'll come down to a basic sort of, no, I don't like the smell, and I don't want it wafting into my child's bedroom. Simple as that. Okay, let us talk about the Nigel Farage speech. We talked about it yesterday in preview. Natasha Clark is our political editor. Overview of yesterday's speech then?
Yes, Ian, I thought it was really interesting. Obviously, it's the first time we've heard such a policy speech from Nigel Farage, really. Like, obviously, they did lay out a few ideas that they had before the election, but this is the first time post the election, post the locals, where they've obviously done incredibly well, where we are finding out a little bit more about what Nigel Farage's party might look like in government. And he was there on his press conference with, you know, all of his new councillors, his new MP, his new mayors, sort of trying to set out what this actually looks like. So quite a lot of very, very big promises, reversing the winter fuel payments, scrapping the two-child benefit cap, and some other policies, including marriage allowance, which we discussed quite a lot on the show in the last sort of day or so, which basically means transferring some of your tax allowance from one spouse to another to make that more attractive, to save you tax. That's something that he wants to do. He thinks it will encourage people to get married, to stay married, and to have more families. That's one of the Reform's main party policy offerings, is that they want to do more to help the family. But a big but, I don't think that Nigel Farage and his party are quite maybe as serious as they want to be. Lots of really, really big policy pledges, not a lot of information about exactly how they're going to pay for them. You've got the front page of the I newspaper today saying that warning of a Liz Truss mini-budget market-style meltdown because of unfunded spending plans. Now, the Reform Party say that they are funded. Scrapping net zero, $45 billion, they say that's going to raise them. Scrapping and closing asylum-seeker hotels, they say that's going to cost us £4 billion a year. Cutting 5% from quangos, we don't know which quangos they might be, they say that's going to save £10 billion a year. But if they are a serious party of government, we need this actual costing of what it's going to cost. Where are you going to spend your money? And I don't quite think Nigel Farage has laid out that for me yet today.
Okay, I'm interested to hear what Gawain Toler says. He's a former advisor to Nigel Farage while he was leader of Reform UK, the Brexit Party, and UKIP. Thank you for joining us, Gawain. I want to ask a general question, really. Is it your belief that Nigel Farage wants to be Prime Minister one day?
Yes.
As the leader of Reform or the Tories?
As the leader of Reform. If he wanted to be the leader of the Tories, he'd be in the Tory party.
Would they have him?
I don't think he'd want them.
Really?
Well, as I say, if he wanted to be the leader of the Tories, he'd be a Tory, but he's not.
OK, the thing that I always think about Reform is they come up with stuff and you think, actually, that's not a bad idea. They come up with good ideas. But again, the costing obviously is going to be a slight stumbling point, but we don't know. But it's the fact that there's at the sort of arrowhead of the party, there are some sensible people and sensible ideas. It's when you broaden out the party and you get to the sort of slightly lunatic fringes of Reform and right-wing parties, is there a danger that this might happen again?
I don't think so. I think you've got a man with enormous political experience. He knows exactly where he wants to go. Now, as you were talking about policies and all the rest of it, I'd like to know what lunatic policies you're thinking about, but let's go back to the things she was saying yesterday.
Well, only teaching, colonial history and things like that, and their education, that's all a bit kind
that's
of...
That's not our policy.
Isn't it? Well, it was in the manifesto in the last election.
No, we teach history, all of it, not just the bits that damn us.
Okay.
Our history is a mixed bag, like everybody's history, but we seem to concentrate solely on the things that are bad about us rather than the things that are good. And this is very important for the good of our nation, the good of the people of our nation going forward.
Okay.
If you live in a country that you've been taught to despise, then, not surprisingly, you don't look forward to the future. It seems to be dumb. But going back to the policies of yesterday, what we're seeing is the peaks of a series of policy mountains. We are 4 years out from a general election. I think Nigel said yesterday in his speech that it was about a year before he'd be able to give you hard and fast the exact details of the financing of it, but he put out some rather large options. And you've got to remember, something like the net zero stuff he's talking about, the 40-odd billion per annum that is mentioned, that doesn't just mean 40 billion per annum that costs the taxpayer through their taxes, but it also means you would be reducing the cost of living for everybody through their energy costs.
Right.
You'd be increasing investments in the country because businesses will not invest in a country which is three times more expensive to invest in than their neighbours.
Okay.
It's not just the tax take, it's also the improvements in the economy that you've got to look at.
Okay, let's have a proper question from our political editor.
No pressure there.
No.
Gawain, it's Natasha. How are you doing?
Hi there. Morning.
Good morning. Long time no see. Yesterday, Nigel Farage said that he was the man of the working class now. How can...
No, he said he'd like to represent... Well, he doesn't claim to be working class.
No.
He says he represents and Reform represents the working class better than anybody else.
But how can a man with his education, with his upbringing, with his experience, really claim, and coming from a lot of money, really claim to be the representing the working class when you've got, Sir Keir Starmer, and might say, anyone with a sir in his name, that's not the...
I do apologise. We've only got about 30 seconds to answer.
I did think it was funny when I heard the chairman of the Labour Party launch into a 1970s style class war. It's just absurd. They no longer represent what might be called the working class. They represent a sort of middle management lanyard class. We're talking to people. We are talking to people and about people with people who do work with their hands, who put in physical labour. Nobody else does anymore.
Thank you for talking to us, Gawain.
Thank you.
Mark's had a 10 for the speech yesterday, quickly, in brief.
It's a little bit rambly, in my opinion.
A bit rambly?
Yeah, I think it could have been cut into two.
Fair enough. It makes the news. Thank you very much indeed, Gawain. Thank you very much to Tash, and thank you to you for listening. If you missed any of today's show, you can always listen back on Catch Up in two places now, both Global Players app and the new LBC app, which is called, thankfully, LBC, where you can read and watch the latest from LBC, put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. You can download them for free from your app store. At 10, it's James O'Brien, but now with the Wednesday breakfast, Nick Ferrari.
Thanks, Ian. At 7 o'clock on Wednesday, May the 28th, the self-styled reform leader Nigel Farage challenged to the Prime Minister.
I've got a great idea. Why doesn't the Prime Minister and I go to a working man's club somewhere in the Red Wall, and we'll sit there and we'll let them ask us questions and you can all come along.
Mr Farage, we're ahead of you. We've already tried it. Sedgefield, once a Labour stronghold.
After Nigel Farage challenged the Prime Minister to meet him for a pint at a working men's club in the Red Wall, I went to Sedgefield to find out who the British people really want to have a drink with. I'm Phoebe Abrutzese, reporting for LBC.
So what would you say if you found Nigel Farage in your local boozer? And what are the claims? The number's up. He doesn't know his abacus from his arithmetic. In other exclusive news on LBC...
The parents of a baby boy who died aged 15 weeks have told LBC they believe mould in their flat contributed to his death. I'm LBC's Helen Hoddenott with the exclusive.
Police working on the theory that the Liverpool parade driver was high on drugs. And on that subject, the move to decriminalise small amounts of cannabis. You'll hear from the politician backing that, Charlie, now Lord Faulkner. It's all after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, the parents of a baby boy who died aged 15 weeks have told LBC they believe the mould in their home